This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I'm Noomi Gilder.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
And you're listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief.
Our picks of this week's tech headlines.
And what we think of them.
We're aiming for 50% informative, 50% fun.
Let's dive in.
You're listening to episode 3 of Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief. Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm excited to dive in.
Yeah, I'm happy to be back. Happy to discuss some tech news that we've got for everyone this week.
So, shall we start with story number one?
Let's go. Hit me.
This is about AI voice cloning, which is obviously a huge thing at the moment. There's a lot of voice synthesis going on. We've had lots of stories in the past, you know, 12, 18 months of artists being cloned, you know, like there was that Eminem song, wasn't there? Calvin Harris used it for a song as well. And there was a story this week about a bank issuing warnings that this technology could be used for scams.
I think it's quite crazy how quick the technology has progressed in this regard. Like, deepfakes weren't good until about a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And now it is so hard to detect sometimes whether something's real or not, unless you've grown up maybe on the internet or with some sort of like technology background. I can't imagine the sort of average person being aware of, you know, how to know whether they're being scammed or not, especially if you're like an older person as well and you're not used to using even like the internet or a computer.
Yeah. And I hate to give them credit, but scammers are so smart at being able to adapt to new technology. Like, as soon as a new technology is available or a change in behavior using technology, scammers are like, I know how to use this to make some money. You know, like they use search engine optimization. My ex once got scammed because he called the wrong HMRC number because on Google it was boosted as an ad and it was a scam number with like a premium call rate.
They're everywhere. Honestly, it's so hard to navigate, I think, these days. Like, it's really useful when you get features from Google or whoever your phone provider is that say, you know, potential scam caller. But how... it's all a case of them being one step ahead. So if the scammers are ahead of everyone else and people haven't clocked onto it yet, it's so hard to know what's real and what's fake. I went to a conference last year, a tech conference, and the closing ceremony, it's not a ceremony there, is it? The closing talk was this group of three men. They're from a different country. I think they were from Germany. And they basically deepfaked their friend on stage live to show how it was
done. Wow.
And it was so interesting to watch them code it all up and basically turn this person that was stood there into someone else.
Wow.
And it was a bit glitchy, obviously, because they'd done it there and then. But then I was like, if they can do that on the fly here, obviously they probably practiced it loads of times. Like, what can people be doing in the background?
Yeah. So like this particular article, they're saying that because voice synthesis is becoming so good now, there's this potential that scammers could take voice recordings online. So if you've posted a video on social media with your friend's voice or a family member's voice, they could then train an AI with that family member's voice and scam you, because they could then fake a call of your mum or your child calling you and being like, I'm in distress, I need money. How scary is that?
That is so scary. It just makes me think of catfishing.
Right? Yes. That is such a weird thing that, applications you didn't expect for AI voice cloning. No, catfishers so are going to go wild for it.
No, it is insane though, because people have been doing it with other people's images for ages. I mean, you saw that whole horrible deep fake Taylor Swift thing that happened. People have been doing crazy stuff for years. Like, I remember being at school and one of my best friends, like, she was really pretty and she had like a really like hot boyfriend at the time, and someone created fake profiles of those two to pretend to be them. Now, obviously, the whole fake profile was based on photos that they had uploaded themselves. Now people can literally pretend to be someone else online and you wouldn't even know unless you knew that person in real life. So my current thought process is we've been trying to digitize everything. We've been trying to move everything online, bank accounts, everything, to the point now where it's a bit worrying, like, how do we prove that that's even you?
Yeah, for sure.
Voice might not even be you. Is this going to signify a return to more in-person type of security concerns? Like, how, I don't know, how do we navigate this landscape?
So this research and this article was carried out by Starling Bank. They were suggesting to combat it, you create a safe phrase offline. It's never written anywhere online, but with family members, friends, in person, you say a safe phrase to be able to use to check to see if you were like talking to a scammer or someone fake online. Kind of like, you know, in the Harry Potter film where they're like, what creature was in the office with us when we first spoke? But how practical is that?
No, hear me out. What if the scammer is in your close friend circle? What if the scammer is someone that you know? What if they like get in somehow? What if they pretend to be your friend for a bit and then they're like, this person's got 100k in a bank account. I'm going to be friends with them and get their like secret passcode. You know, like, how do you trust anyone when it comes to that? And also, as a very scatterbrained person, do you think I'm remembering I don't write it down? I would write that on a piece of paper and lose the piece of paper. That's the sort of person I am. Like, obviously not everyone's like that, but I don't think this is doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Yeah, it is.
It's not giving solution.
It's not giving safety.
No.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting. What's going to happen? Is it going to change our behaviour? So, like, are we going to...
I've been scammed before. I just thought I'd throw it out there.
Mm. How? What was it?
My chest. It was... It was over Facebook. It was so obvious as well. It was buying a festival ticket and my friend had come to visit and we just needed one more ticket and we were so desperate. We sent the transfer and immediately the person's profile changed name and they were posting on another thing about selling a ticket and we were like, damn it, we've been scammed.
Oh.
And they actually got caught, you know, because they did it to so many people. Like, I think so many screenshots had been sent through and stuff that the person got taken to court. I never got anything back and I was kind of glad that a scammer got scammed themselves, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, how embarrassing. We actually did end up going to the festival though, so we went back for round two and didn't get scammed. Imagine.
Well, props to you for the bravery to go back in and get it, and I'm glad that there was a happy ending.
We're insane, but this kind of reminds me, like, this whole voice cloning sort of discussion. I read something online. I think I was just browsing through Twitter, and it was this couple. They were voice actors, and I think they were just like normal actors as well. But on the side, they were doing sort of Fiverr. Fiverr, you know, you can hire anyone to do something for you. So they were just doing, apparently when you sort of write scripts or you're trying to create any sort of, I don't know, visual thing, you can hire people to read off the script for you before you've hired the actual actors. So what they were doing is they were like doing screen readings for people, acting it out between themselves just so these people could hear how like their scripts were going. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Mm. So anyway, this company hired them to do a screen reading for them of a script. It was never supposed to go public. And what this company has done is then use their voices for their AI voice sort of provider. So these people kept getting told, oh, I think I've heard your voice before. And then they looked into it and they worked out that this job they'd done on Fiverr had essentially taken their voice and started monetizing their voices.
That's crazy.
Without them knowing. So now they're suing them because they've essentially stolen their voice.
Yeah. That is wild. Yeah, that is another kind of like scary side effect of this stuff. You hear it a little bit in radio of like, is it going to happen? Actually, on my show last week, my co-presenter cloned me for a feature. So he had AI knew me talking to me. And it wasn't perfect. The way I said Morrison's Strood was very off, but it was scary. And obviously people, you know, that are working in voice acting, a lot of their voice is available online, or people that work in radio, you can, you know, we're talking 3 hours a day. There's a lot of data that you can take from us, examples of our voice that you could use to train an algorithm. And then I'm going to be out of a job.
But this is what I mean. Like, where do we go from here? What rules and regulations are we going to put in? But at the same time, you can't, this is so ridiculous, you can't control it either. Like, once something starts moving, once there's momentum, it's just going to carry on going. Like, where are we going to end up with all of this? We can create fake people online now, we can create fake voices, like we can essentially be our own little avatar online. Like, when does this end?
Yeah, it's trying not to be too overwhelmed, like, and terrified about it.
What's the point of it all?
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to work out right now. Like, what's, why are we doing this?
Yeah, well, I guess for scams, the point's there. I would be interested to see if we then get counter development of, do people start to develop tools to detect, and then do we then have that built in, you know, like a very,
we have that,
yeah, and like, but will we see that widespread integration of you being able to flag something and say that, you know, this is AI generated? Are we going to have to get better at making those tools?
I think the way it works right now, it's really easy to get around. I think Instagram will flag something as AI, or if you've used an AI filter now. Again, it's, we're relying on the social media sites where this is being posted to flag that. But if you, for example, say you record it using that AI, then you save it down to your phone, or you use a screenshot, or you edit it in a certain way that's not going to be inside wherever you use the AI, that's not going to be flagged as AI anymore.
Yeah.
You change the metadata already in the file.
Yeah. So is do we need, and I don't I don't think I know enough about this, but would there be a way to analyze, can you analyze something, and, you know, is there like an algorithm that you could run, like an image processing algorithm or an audio processing algorithm? Can you find you know, artifacts in that footage to show if it's been doctored?
I don't know. I think if it's been doctored really badly, yeah, you could probably work it out. But if it's not, it's going to be really hard to do that, because at the end of the day, it's like, it's video, it's film. How is that going to know whether it's a real person or not, for example, or whether that person behaves in a certain way or not? Like, you could try to detect certain things, like maybe, I don't know, a line doesn't quite align in the background. You know, it's a bit fuzzy in certain places. But I don't think you're ever 100% going to be able to create anything that can detect that it's created by AI or not. It's going to have some sort of margin of error, the same way like the human eye would, just because it's a subjective piece of art, right? At the end of the day, a video or a photo. I don't know. Maybe I'm going into it too in depth here, but I think it's a big thing though, because if you've grown up in the generation that doesn't really know much about it, you're really susceptible to scams. Like us, immediately we'll hear, like, we'll get a phone call off a scammer and we'll know straight away, put the phone down, don't even bother. I think a lot of us are kind of like that at the moment with AI generated videos and deep fakes. But will it get to a point when we're older, when we've not been exposed to it as much, where we will fall for stuff because we don't know the tiny little nuances behind it?
Yeah.
I think it's an education piece and just trying to keep up with it and letting people know what's going on and letting people try and work it out for themselves, because it's hard.
It's hard out here. It's hard out here. You got to stay vigilant.
But also, like, maybe just disconnect as well and just don't, I was about to say don't get scammed, but it's hard to do that, right? Just don't get scammed. Like, it's not fun.
And that's how we summarize this story. The conclusion is, don't get scammed.
You've said that, and also the police aren't going to be able to do anything about this either, because I bet they're getting scammed too.
Yeah. Well, that's a lovely positive story to start with.
Hey, you've got to talk about the hard-hitting stuff.
You do,
right?
You do. And it'll be interesting to see how we try and tackle this moving forward.
100%. I'd love to know where we're going to be in 5 years. Like, we might even be back where we were 10 years ago when barely anything was online.
Yes.
No one trusts it.
We do seem to have a theme with this podcast about talking about disconnecting a lot. I'm really going to enjoy if, like, 20 episodes in of doing a tech news podcast, we just come on and we go, hi guys, so deleted all of our social media, thrown our phone in a bin, and I'm moving to a remote island. Bye.
That's not gone out the window. We are fully analog now. You know what? Maybe this is just our little tie-ups because we did electronic engineering. Maybe we're trying to get everyone to get rid of all their sort of digital products, start using analog circuitry and stuff. I don't know. What do you think?
We'll record the next episode on a gramophone.
Yes, 100%.
So going from talking about throwing everything away and moving to analog devices into a very, you know, cutting edge buzzword product at the moment, tell me about the Snap Spectacles.
So I think companies, I know, like, we've seen many companies bring out their own iteration of connected eyewear. Like, do you remember the Google Glass?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was 10 years ago now. It was a while ago. But, and then we've had all the AR headsets and, you know, the virtual reality gaming and stuff. And I think it sort of has its moment and then it kind of goes back into the background. So Snapchat have created some Snap Spectacles. Now, they've got a few that they've already released in the past. Like, this is the fifth generation. But they seem to think this is the one, right? This is the one that's going to make them famous. I don't know. They're taking a big leap, apparently, to AR with new glasses, a new operating system, and lots of gesture-controlled mixed realities. Now, hear me out. I have not used Snapchat since 2018.
Yeah.
I just felt like everyone just sort of removed themselves off Snapchat and started using Instagram stories.
Yeah.
And I think it was all sort of that sort of era. But apparently people still use Snapchat. Snapchat's still going strong. And Snapchat seemed to think that they can be a big player in, I don't know, virtual reality, right? Who knew? I didn't know.
Yeah, and I find it, I just would love to see it finally happen because it. So many people, like you say, Google Glass, it was like 10 years ago when that came out.
Yeah.
They've really been trying. And I find it just kind of fascinating from a technology and a consumerist technology point of view of if people aren't adopting something, when do you decide to stop?
When do you give up? If the math ain't mathing, why we keep mathing, right? Like, while she was saying that, I was just sort of sat here thinking, I was like, why are Snapchat making glasses though? Like, what does the app provide that you need Snapchat spectacles for?
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to understand them. Like, maybe there's a part of the app that I've not seen. But I'm just reading now and it says there are four cameras used to capture spatial information and let you control the Snapchat spectacles via gestures. And the CEO demonstrated the controls, which virtually sit in the palm of your hand. You control the spectacles via pinch and pull gestures with one or both hands. A large screen behind him showed the spectacles feed, which included menus and other interface graphics. It looks as if the AR imagery did not fill the entire viewport. So that doesn't sound like it was a very promising demo, but I can kind of see where he's coming from. But again, why Snapchat? Sorry.
Yeah, also, like, is it that they're made by Snapchat, but they're integrated for day-to-day, like, moving around? Or are you just using Snapchat whilst... Because that's a very small use case.
That's why maybe I'm not understanding it properly. But, yeah, it's got, like, a new operating system and a pair of Qualcomm Snapdragon processors. So they're not skimping out on the processing power here. Like, you know, Qualcomm's a big player in, like... the processor chip.
Well, maybe Snapchat are like, look, Google can do it, Apple are trying, but they're not doing it. And maybe they're going to be like the Yamaha kind of thing of, we make pianos, but we also make motorbikes. And Snapchat's going to be like, we make this app that young people love, but a lot of other people don't use anymore. And we've also made the glasses that people are actually going to wear.
Yeah, so I've just read a bit more, right? And apparently Snapchat have said the lenses are built to share your AR experiences with friends who can watch on their smartphones. So it sounds like it is still tied into the app, and the lenses have auto dimming to adjust to sunlight. So they're AR spectacles and sunglasses at the same time. But so I think we mentioned this on one of the previous podcasts, like, you know, Elon Musk and his brain chips. We've got like these snap spectacles now. Will these spectacles become obsolete when we've all got chips in our brains? Like, do you know, like, it's, again, are we wasting
time? What's the point?
Yes, like, someone answer this. It feels like maybe it's a passion project that they just won't let die.
Stop trying to make smart glasses happen. It's not going
to
happen.
Stop trying to make rich happen. Exactly.
So I have a question for you. Looking at a picture of them now,
would you wear them? Just from a fashion point of view.
Have you seen them? Is that a real question? Damn it. Are we going to get cease and desist for, like, stop being mean to us? We're just giving honest reviews.
I would really like a letter from Snapchat's lawyers that just says, stop being mean to us.
In case you haven't guessed my answer, the answer is no. Why would I want to wear that? I'm sorry, but right, if I tried it out and it added some value to my life, maybe, but I would not be walking around using them as sunglasses.
So do you think in order for these kind of products to succeed, there has to be an element of fashion and design involved for adoption?
100%. I think potentially why Google Glass failed originally, I don't know if you saw that.
Because it, like, looked stupid.
They were ugly. I swear they look like rimless glasses, and they just had like, they look like this horrible headset I've got on right now. I've got like this little microphone that goes forward. I'm not wearing this to walk around.
Britney mic.
Because it's functional. It's not even a Britney mic. It's horrible. But it was like, I swear, like, the glasses were just like this. Like, you know when something's functional, but someone wants you to wear them in everyday life. No, some people don't care about that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm trying not to diss people, but it feels like they were rimless glasses, but with some tech in them.
Yeah, like, for example, on the flip side, Bose released sunglasses. This was like 6 years ago, that have tiny speakers in the arms that direct sound into your ears. So they were sunglass headphones. Don't go over your ear, and it's not bone conduction. It's like tiny speakers, but because they're so small, you're not getting spill out into the public. It's not like playing from your phone.
Is that for, like, cyclists?
Cyclists, if you just walking around, you want to still have your ears, you know, open to be able to hear sounds if you're, like, sightseeing. And I bought a pair. I went to try them on, and I was like, you know what? Here's my money. Because the sound quality was good, they worked, and they looked like a nice pair of sunglasses. You know, you wouldn't be able to
sacrifice.
Yeah, exactly. You would, and you wouldn't actually be able to tell. They had obviously quite thick arms because of the battery, the technology, the speakers in them. But stylistically, and especially from the front, you would not be able to tell that they were like smart sunglasses.
Yeah.
So you're not sacrificing anything for that functionality. And I think until we kind of get to that level, people are just too conceited.
No, yeah, like, wearable tech is not wearabling, right? Like, it's just not. It's not very wearable.
So really, I'm looking forward to Snapchat having a collaboration with a designer for the sixth generation, and then maybe they'll take off.
Yeah, you know what? That's it. They need to get someone in to design something that people want to wear.
Get Vera Wang in.
It's very specific, but yes, get her in.
I'm just thinking of like big cat eye type lenses.
Yeah, no, yeah, I get you. I get where you're. I mean, they are definitely big, the ones they've got right now. I'll tell you that. But yeah, I definitely think, yeah, once they get the fashion aspect into it, maybe people will start using it more. But also, who wants to live in an AR reality when we've got the real world?
Yeah, I do think that there are some applications that could be quite cool. But again, it's that conversation of, is it like, how much value and function are they adding versus is it a gimmick? From the top of my head, the kind of things where I think it would be useful for is if you're traveling and you can get instant translation of road signs, Google Maps maybe, so like as a navigation thing, it can tell you where you're going, so you don't have to have your phone out, so that we're not, you know, risking, especially when you're out in London at the moment and all these people on bikes are snatching your phones, you know.
Scammers.
They got to get real close if they're going to snatch your ugly glasses off of your face. So, yeah, I think there are some features that could be useful, but at this point, I just don't...
What are they?
Yeah, I don't think there is enough benefit and enough functionality, and that's why people aren't adopting them.
Are they just pandering to the chronically online people? Like, I don't know. I'd be interested to see the market research behind this,
yeah,
and why people want this. But at the same time as well, we always like forward-thinking tech. We like progression. We like moving forward. We like people seeing different things. And sometimes the best inventions and the best discoveries aren't what people think they want.
Right? Yeah. And who knows whether this kind of, you know, it could be like, oh, we thought that this was going to be consumer technology for people to use day to day. But then it turns out that it's got a medical use for people to have additional diagnostics whilst they're, you know, doing surgery. Or is it a fantastic navigation aid? So it could be that this, you know, it's not for us day to day walking about, but there is still applications.
The surgery side, I completely agree with, like stuff like that. Even like fixing a car, right? Have that in your head. I went to Google I/O, I think it was in 2018, and they were sort of demoing a lot of their AR stuff at that point. And like there was a coffee machine on display and you just sort of held your phone in front of it. And because of like the location you were in and stuff, it basically sort of opened up the coffee machine on your phone and said how all your coffee was made and stuff.
That's
it was also
cool.
Like animated, and that was really cool, and that was via your phone.
Like, can you imagine how much time and resource you could save if, for example, your car's broken down and you can, with AR glasses, open up your engine and a mechanic somewhere else on the phone can run a diagnostic on your engine using the stuff that you're feeding back to them and then tell you how to fix it by the side of the road.
That is an app idea as well. You wouldn't even need glasses for that. You could literally just use a camera on your phone. And I feel like the issue we have with things like this...
Don't steal it. Let me copyright that.
You've given me an idea. Thank you. But the thing about that is it's so hard to like sort of code the graphic side of it. Maybe AI will help us. Maybe that is the point of AI, to help us
with stuff that we don't want to draw.
Because I was thinking, I was like, this is so cool when I was like Google I/O watching that sort of coffee machine be made. But then I was like, how long did it take someone just to make this animation and just to code everything up? And then you'd have to do that for every single thing. Like, I guess if you've made a product, say instead of giving an instruction manual, you could be like, scan this QR code and it will, you know, walk you through the process of setting something up. If you're just doing it one time, that would make a lot of sense. And I think that could be a really good application and use for these glasses. You go to IKEA, buy a wardrobe, bring it back home, and then you just put, I don't know, download like the instruction manual into your glasses or onto your phone and you just watch it. We need to stop talking.
Yes,
we need to make this
stop
out.
Stop giving us so many ideas. Yeah. Okay. Well, be right back. Gonna go make an app.
Maybe the yacht for our 35th birthday is a reality after all.
Oh, no, because someone listening has already written this down and started.
It's fine. We'll copyright them. We have proof.
Well, I think, you know, we've been on a journey again. I'm left feeling positive.
I'm left feeling positive as well. I'm laughing again. I don't want to dash my laptop out the window anymore because of scammers. So we're good.
We've brought it back. But I think, you know, that to conclude, be vigilant and stay safe out there, guys.
Like, how? Just never talk and your voice will be safe.
So, see you next week.
Bye.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.